Steve, let's begin with a quick discussion about Tuesday night. Just how good was that game, that performance from your team?
Well, both, wasn't it? The game, first and foremost, was a fantastic example of why Rotherham United embrace and love being in the Championship. You know, we've got an outstanding quality Derby County squad of players coming to the New York. We two or three lads that grace the Premier League as well on loan there. And a manager, of course, who's the former manager of our country, or your country. And I thought it had everything. It had everything bar 3 points for us. And when you're 3-1 up, you look back, we're a touch of just a touch of annoyance that you didn't manage to take the points. But such is the quality of them, it's no surprise that in certain spells of the game they have a right go.
Did you have a chance to speak to Steve McLaren after the game?
Yeah, we had a drink afterwards. You know, I think he was very humble and very very knowledgeable about their past performances in recent weeks, because like we do, they do the homework. And but he did say we caught him with the team selection, we caught him with the formation, and it was as tough a game as they've had. And that's a compliment, because Steve is, as we've always found it, is a very honest guy. So it was good to catch up, and we shared a few things about opposition we've got coming that they've played and vice versa. So that was good. But I think he felt that he'd almost nicked a point, you know, as well as they've played in that last 20 minutes.
I know we've spoken quite a lot about Matt Derbyshire recently, but another goal just is quite an unbelievable turnaround for him, isn't it?
Well, the commonality of Matt Derbyshire all season is he's got into goal-scoring positions. Of course, he wasn't taking the chances earlier in the season, and I think the kid was at a loss as to explain why some of them weren't getting in, whether it at a post, at a goalkeeper, or he rocketed it wide, or passed it wide. It just wasn't happening for him. And then we've had lots of chats with him, but the one chat was, I just told him I'm going to play him anyway, because he's the one player we have in a squad that gets into the positions, and I always feel if he gets a goal, he's capable of scoring a lot of goals for us. And he's got 4 and 5, and I said it the other night, and I'll repeat myself, but all bar from an absolutely atrocious, ridiculous, bad decision by an assistant referee at Charlton, he would have 5 and 5, which would be the best in the Championship. So that's how much he's come forward.
He's been playing with Connor Salmon recently, but this was a game alongside Danny Ward. How do you think that worked out as a pair?
Yeah, I think it worked well. I think Wardy was quiet maybe for the first 10, 15 minutes, and I think perhaps some players who only played a lot recently to gather the breath when they come into the heat of that atmosphere and the heat of the game and the tempo of the game, which was end-to-end at one stage in the first half. But I think as we started the second half, probably for about half an hour, Danny had his best performance in a Miller shot. He was unplayable against them for the first half of the second half. And then, as we probably expected, but we hope it wouldn't have come as quick, his legs suddenly went from being strong and powerful to being like gelatine and jelly. So, because he got very tired, as one or two of our guys did that have not played. But yeah, I thought he'd been a good performance.
What does it say about the way that this team has changed maybe since the turn of the year, that you've had the game against Blackburn and the game against Derby, you've only got a point, and you're pretty disappointed about that and could have had more easily?
Oh, we're hugely disappointed. But we said back in July, you know, the run of games, that when we looked and said, look at that month of when you get towards February, and we looked and we said, we've got Derby, then we go away to Blackburn, we come home to Derby, we go away to Wolves and Watford, home to Millwall. It's just fantastic for us to be involved in those games. But we're looking forward to these games now, and when you play these games, you want more of them, don't you? We want more of the Derby Counties, the Ipswich Towns, the Blackburn Rovers, the Wolves on Saturday. We want more of these. You get a real hunger and desire to play in them. And it's fair to say, when we entered the month of the January in the transfer window, we said we'd be stronger when we left it. That's happened. And the boys are proving a point rather than talking a point.
What's the situation with Zeki Fryer's loan deal here?
He's extended today to the end of the season, so he's done.
That is a big positive for you then?
Yeah, of course it's a positive. I think they've just got to dot the I's and cross the T's, but we're very knowledgeable and very grateful to Alan Pardew, of course, and Keith Miller down at Crystal Palace, and to Steve Parrish, the chairman there, for their help, not only financially, but for how quickly they've allowed us to extend it. We said we would talk at the beginning of this week, which we did. They asked us to get Derby out of the way, which we did. And then, so we're grateful to Alan and his staff down at Palace.
Have we seen him really grow into this team, the more games that he's played?
Well, we've seen him get better every game he's played. I think the one anomaly in that was at Blackburn. I think we were 7 or 8, the boys weren't on top of the game. But I think he's got better as each game's gone on. But players will get better if they've not played first team football. You know, it takes them a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games, if you like, almost to get up to speed. And we found that Zeki every game or two he's got a little bit better and a little bit better, and he's such a gifted boy. His biggest asset, as we know, is his frightening pace. No one will ever run him, doesn't matter how quick they are, and his strength and his power, and he's still adapting to how we play, which is quite unique for him. You've got to bear in mind this boy's background is Man United, past City, Tottenham Hotspur, past City, out in Belgium, past City, Premier League, past City, yeah. And he comes into a very industrious, hard-working team, and there is a difference in the roles expected. But I think he's acclimatising really, really well.
And how vital is it to have that consistency with personnel? Because you had successful loan spells in January, you know, Ledesma and Lawrence. You lose those players. Now the fact you're able to keep a player who is on loan is vital, isn't it?
Yeah, and we'd have kept Tom and we'd have kept Manu if we'd been able to do so. Mm-hmm. You know, in the case of Manu, he's obviously gone off and joined Brighton, but we made a written cash offer for Manu, but we didn't want to meet Middlesbrough's valuation. If we keep meeting everybody's valuation, we'll end up skint, won't we? So our valuation accounts. So we didn't do that. It would have been good to keep Tom, but I had another chat with Steve Hurst, Nigel's number two, last week about Tom, and he said that they're keeping him in the door. So we want to keep good players, and Zeki intimated very early that he would love to stay. Palace informed us that a couple of Championship clubs would do what Championship clubs do to Steve Evans. They go and try and offer more money and nick the player, and thankfully Palace said it's not about the money, it's about this player playing and enjoying his football, and we're getting him moving and moving forward again, and thankfully that Palace were true to the word and left them here.
Did you, with Ledesma going out on loan, did you ask about a potential loan deal, or do you feel like you've got good enough options in that area now?
A loan deal wasn't available to us for some reason. There's no point in me getting into on understanding people's business. Perhaps Brighton have done a deal with there's a substantial loan fee. I don't know. I would be guessing, Rob, whether it's a loan with a view to a permanent and all sorts that would be attached. We made an offer from to sign him on a permanent basis. It was refused. We made an offer last week to sign him a loan. It was refused. So we just have to respect it. That's Middlesbrough Football Club's right to make that decision. And the good people up at Middlesbrough, you know, Itar and particularly his assistant manager, Steve Agnew, someone I've known for over 20 years, since I was a kid, 30 years. And so from that point of view, they've obviously made the decision that they feel is right for their football club.
In terms of team news and injury news, Lee Frecklington, how's he?
Yeah, Frex is about a week away, we think. You know, he just had a little adverse reaction to some scar tissue around the double hernia operation he had. But yeah, he won't be available for Wolves or Watford, but he may be available for Millwall.
And what is the news on Jack Hunt?
Well, the prognosis is good in the sense that we feared when he came off against Derby County that there goes our player for the season. He's touch and go for tomorrow. He's probably 50-50 for Wolverhampton, and we'll really see how he is in the morning. But, you know, it's really just about moving the surface bruising and the deep bone bruising that's around the knee injury that is sustained. Whether we can do that for tomorrow will be touch and go, and the medical guys tell me they'll know no real until they try him, and it could still be there on as we prepare for Watford, but we're trying to get him there for tomorrow.
You mentioned a couple of weeks ago about Ben Pringle, that you would sit down and have a chat with him. Update the fans on where you are with his potential new contract.
Yeah, I had a chat with Ben yesterday. We've agreed that we've got the next 2 weeks, which we call double headers. So we've obviously got the two Tuesday matches with Watford and Cardiff coming here. And then we said the following week gives us a free week, and we'll go off and we'll have a second cup of coffee, and this time we Prings can pay.
And and the way that you sort of speak about this, I sense some optimism, Steve, on this one.
Yeah, listen, I never had my admiration for Ben Pringle as a footballer and as a lad. You know, he's the most genuine, natural lad you could wish to meet. He's been absolutely wonderful for us as a management team and as a football club. But it has to be right for the football club, the deal, and it has to be right for Ben, of course. So that's, I'm hoping to be a little bit of an intermediary and perhaps get the football club nearer the fence where Ben needs it to be in, and perhaps get Ben nearer that fence so we can get something done. But we're going to meet the week after Cardiff, and we'll see if we can. And if we can, I'm sure we'll do it. And if we can't, then we'll pass it back to our chairman.
Looking at the game, let's go back to last season and Molyneux. One of the most incredible games of the season in a promotion campaign for both clubs. What do you remember about that goal fest last year?
Oh, I can remember being 1-0 up through Kieran Agard from a header. And then I can remember going 3-1 down at half time and thinking at myself, in front of Wolverhampton Wanderers' biggest crowd for 30 years, we're going to get beat here 7 or 8-1. This is going to be embarrassing, because they were absolutely flying. And I can remember looking at my watch, it's 90 minutes on the watch, and we're 4-4. And then Sam Ricketts, who's never had a good shot with his left foot in his career, wonderful player, wonderful lad, goes forward and bends one from 30 odd yards, and you think, oh dear, there we go. And but it was such a wonderful football match. Wolverhampton Wanderers supporters and our supporters were both fantastic on the day, and it really did create almost like a carnival party atmosphere. And the one thing I do really remember for it was on leaving Wolverhampton was the genuine warmth of their supporters and staff and directors wishing us good luck, as they were almost secured, if not secured, in the Championship. It was about winning the title for them then. Mm. But they really wanted, and I felt they did want us to be in the Championship with them. And thankfully, we were able to go away and deliver that.
What does it say about the teams who got promoted that you've got Wolves, who've done pretty well yourselves, and there's Brentford in the top six as well? They're the three teams that went up.
Well, I would probably think out of the three, Brentford has spent a huge sum of money in transfer fees that seems to have gone under the radar, possibly because they're a London-based club and the London media, but it seems to be swept under the carpet. But there's some changes afoot there, isn't there? And I really feel for Mark Warburton, of course. I've got a lot of respect for him. I messaged him this week, and with a little bit of communication, I think Mark was at possibly a game on Tuesday, from what he said back to me in the messages about what he thought of our performance, etc. But you always feel for that situation when someone has done it. Doesn't matter what he spent. What he spent is he's obviously spent it wisely. He's competing with some big boys in this league, and I think Kenny Jackett has done such a wonderful job at Wolves. He went in there with a huge amount of pressure to take Wolves out of League One in one hit, one go. He had to get them up, and he took all the pressures on his shoulders, and he delivered that. And I think they've the two or three they've recruited, they may have paid good money for them, likes of Ben Ikafobi, who we liked and who we spoke to Arsenal about, but Wolves took it to a different level, and they've just signed another wonderful footballer, haven't they? So, you know, both those clubs, Brentford and Wolverhampton Wanderers, will be especially pleased with what they're doing.
A lot of the Championship games I've seen this year have been very tight encounters, the odd goal separating the teams, and yet I saw the Fulham game at the New York 3-3, it was the 3-3 draw the other night. What chance in this game of more goals between Wolves and Rotherham?
Well, if we could reverse the spoils on last year and win 6-4, I'd be delighted. And I think Kenny said something similar. As a manager or a coach, you always win a win first and foremost, whether that's 1-0 or... And I think every manager would rather come away remembering a 6-4 victory than a 1-0 defeat, for example, or a 1-0 victory. You would rather remember goals, thrills and spills. But we're going there tomorrow. There'll be a very passionate home support as they make one final last goal for the playoffs. And we just have to make sure that we're competing for 90 minutes, because any team that doesn't go there and get in the trenches and compete with Wolves at Molineux gets turned over.
It's going to be a really good test, this, isn't it? This game and then Watford away.
Yeah, I think we've had some real serious tests in recent weeks, Rob. I think when Mick McCarthy brings Ipswich Town to the New York and they were 3 points off the summit, you think, here we go. And then you have to go up to Blackburn, and we know we didn't perform as well as we could in the first half, but there's not no way we shouldn't get in from the game when you look at the overall picture of the 90 minutes. And then we compete with Derby as we did, but we're 3-1 up against Derby, and the goalkeeper has the best save he's probably ever made, from Matt Derbyshire, to stop it being 4-1, and we know then it would have been game over. So it's the finest of margins, and it'll be the finest of margins at some spells tomorrow at Molineux. I've been at games where it ends up a 3 or 4-0 victory for a team, but there's sometimes in that game there's defining moments. Look at Ipswich, we beat them 2-0. The boy Murphy, who's been on fire, misses a sitter after, 10-12 seconds here. If that goes in, it's perhaps a different game. So it really is all about fine margins.